on drill and hassle bad.
We're back here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Super exciting game between Germany and the U.S. in the semifinal of women's soccer. USA pulled ahead in the first part of overtime, and just seconds ago made an unbelievable save on a deflection right after a free kick. And that was just pure creativity. Reaction. Then it almost went all the way down to the other side. Had a chance to put it away. It's been really exciting. So
they got another minute, Willie.
Just one more minute before, if the U.S. can hang on, they'll go to the gold medal game. Tim Hasselbeck joins us here. Time to talk a little NFL with him. Tim, welcome in.
Hey, good to be on. What's up, guys?
Well, Tim, let's start with this. Like, you put yourself in the 49ers' shoes. And I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt. Everybody's kind of exploring what it would take to trade him. What it would, you know, other teams probably just doing their due diligence. There's reporting that Adam Schefter has done about teams like the Patriots. But ultimately, if you're the 49ers, don't you want to find a way to keep Ayuk in the fold? How do you win a Super Bowl if you don't have him?
Yeah, I mean, well, they drafted Ricky Purcell early, and you know, it sounds like he's been hurt throughout camp. So I mean, you hope that if you move someone like Ayuk, that you have somebody else waiting in the wings, or you have you're getting something back in return in terms of the trade. That's why some of the reasons that people talked about Cleveland being a trade partner, that Amari Cooper may be somebody that's coming back to the 49ers. But my initial reaction on this, Willie, is that what Ayuk has been asking, from what I have heard, has been kind of astronomical, right? And so, and I think at least in the Niners' eyes, unrealistic. And so I think what the Niners are, you know, have tried to do is say, hey, all right, let's figure out like what other people think of Ayuk and what kind of deal they would sign him to. Because basically, he has to agree to a deal. Like the compensation to trade him is going to be significant. Well, no team's going to trade for him without having the framework or at least a deal done with him. And so with that being the case, you know, I think that basically what the Niners are saying, like, okay, go see what somebody else is willing to pay you. Almost like restricted free agency. Like, yeah, go see what someone else would pay you and then come on back so we can get a more realistic deal done.
Are you worried in general, if you're a 49er fan, would you be concerned with all of the things that they're trying to deal with? They know that a new Purdy contract is on the horizon. What happens with Ayuk affects Samuel. They're trying to keep McCaffrey healthy. But you look at this is a great chance for them to capitalize and win a Super Bowl here.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's fair. I mean, it's like you want to be able to step on the gas now at the same time, you know, not totally – you know, set yourself up for failure, you know, in the future. And so, like, yeah, there definitely should be a sense of urgency with that. There should be a desire to say, like, you know, do what you can to keep the guys around, you know, the young quarterback who's on an inexpensive deal. Like, so I don't think there's any question that, like, that should be the idea, because they know the quarterback's a good player, but at the same time, they also – they also know that, like, it's going to get more expensive. Like, here's a good example. Okay, this came up this morning when I was on Get Up. Okay, so if you just take the top cap hit for the Cowboys this year and you compare it to the Philadelphia Eagles, right? It's $55 million for the Cowboys and just $15 million for the Eagles. So then you say, okay, what about the two top players in terms of their cap hit? Well, $75 million for the Cowboys, $29 million for the Eagles. Like, you go all the way down. Like, this would be a good example of, like, you know, you start to get too top heavy. If you take the top five cap hits for the Dallas Cowboys this year, it's $123 million, and the Eagles is just $63 million. So, like, as you start to kind of plan for the future, like, you, like what I'm saying is Dallas has done a terrible job.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, but what I think that will come up is say, hey, all right, well, what can you do, you know, if you're San Francisco, where, you know, you're just not rewarding every single guy that's wanted a new contract, reset the market everywhere. Like, what can you do? And I think that's, you know, that's probably the challenge they're in. And see, like, it, from that perspective, it does make me think, look, maybe they would move him to a place, you know, like Cleveland and get Cooper in return. Or maybe they would, you know, just ship him off to New England and say, all right, well, like, let's see if the young guys can step up.
Now, Tim, we're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, do you think this will turn out to be, if they do indeed or is able to trade IU, do you think this will turn out to be for the team that is trading for him, not what they expected as far as, you know, the things they have to give up and then the contract they have to sign and then his production moving forward? Because I still look at, even though I believe Ayuk is a good receiver, I think what you have to give up even before you pay him amounts to him being the top receiver in a class of Tyreek Hill, Lamb, Jefferson, Chase, because of what you have to do in order to get him. You got to give up picks. You got to give up possibly, like you said, Amari Cooper if you're going to trade him to Cleveland. But then you got to turn around and give him, if not $30 million, close to it or more.
Yeah, listen. Yeah, that's why in these scenarios. That's what I think the Niners are banking on. Is they're like, hey, man, like, you think that you're worth all this money, but, like, go talk to these other teams, see what they're willing to do. And then when it comes back, it's almost like remember that the Ravens, I think at one point, put the transition tag on Lamar Jackson, right? Almost to say that, like, okay, like, we would match anything. Go see what the market is, just because they knew, you know, what the other teams, you know, were able to do. So, like, I do think that, you know, I think there's just an element there where, yeah, like, I think other teams have to be careful, too. Now, I will say this. Like, you take Brandon Ayuk. So, the last, you know, 2 years, so he had 75 catches last year, 78 the year before, and then, you know, had seasons where he had 60 and 56 catches. Like, do I think Brandon Ayuk in a different offense could catch 110 balls? I do. Like, I really do. And so I do think that because of the offense he plays and because of the way the ball gets spread around, I do think some of his, you know, his target share and reception totals look different than other receivers that are other places.
Now, Tim, do you think people are, you know, when you're looking at the Tennessee Titans and you're evaluating the Tennessee Titans, do you think people are looking at them based upon the team, its totality, or are they looking at them? Because there's an over-under for the Titans right now, what, Willie, is, I think it's 5.5, 6 games, somewhere around
6.5.
6.5 games.
Is the general consensus.
Exactly. So, to me, that's more indicative as the whole rather than if you're just looking at the 11 on offense and 11 on defense. I'm not counting special teams. But if you look at the 11 on offense and 11 on defense, you would tend to think this team will be better than a 6-7 win team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, like, first off, let me just say D. Mace is now as a coach. Like, you can't stop downplaying special teams like that. You know, all three phases are equally
important. There's three phases. You are absolutely right.
Right?
Yeah.
So don't do that. Don't do that, okay? Especially as a parent of graduates of the Innsworth School. Don't do that. Listen,
that's the coach coming out in him.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, like I literally hear it, and I'm like, cringing. I'm like, I'm turning into one of those guys. Oh my gosh, I'm turning into one of those guys. You know, every player rolled his eyes, but it's true. Yeah, look, I think you're right. I like, to me, when you even said it, like, I haven't been paying attention to the odds and anything like that, but when you said it, I thought, wow, that seems low. Like, that seems like a really low total, you know, for a team that has what I think are a lot of really good players on the team and a defense that I think is going to be a pretty good defense. And I think some of it probably is, look, anytime you have a first-time head coach, there probably ends up being some apprehension of, like, what it'll look like and how long it'll take. And, while I think in some ways that's fair, I think at the same time, you could probably look at some first-year head coaches that have come in and had a lot of success, especially if they've had, a long history in the National Football League, which Brian Callahan certainly has.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck. We're talking NFL. Tim, one of the more intriguing teams, and you touched on them a little bit earlier in the segment, is the Eagles for me. That offense for about a year and a half. Remember, they were at one point last year, they were the defending NFC champions and sitting at 10-1. And there was just this assumption that they, one way or the other, were going to carve you up offensively. It might be A.J. Brown. It might be Hurts running. You just couldn't cover everything. Somewhere along the line, people seem to figure them out. And now they've got a completely different play caller. So because the wheels fell off so bad. So what do you make of them this year?
Yeah, I think they have a really good roster. Like Howie Roseman's done a good job with the talent on their team. When I look at last year, I think that Nick Sirianni, he goes into last season with two brand new coordinators. And whether he just didn't like how things were going or just didn't manage them correctly, they imploded. I mean, you remember they were struggling a little bit on defense.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he makes a defense coordinator change and it actually got worse. And, I think that's one of those things as a head coach. It's you have to identify it. Was it the play caller? Was it things you were doing? But he made it worse. And then I think a similar thing started to happen on the offensive side of the ball. And so now he has two very experienced play callers to his team. Well, so now what does he do? How does he handle it? Does he let Kellen Moore kind of take over? Does he jam anything, into Kellen Moore's menu? What does he do with Vic Fangio? My guess is that he's just going to let Vic, be Vic and do his thing. So, what do I make of them? I think they're a really good team. I actually think the head coach got in the way of the coordinators last year. That's what I think happened. And so I think when you look at that, I think they're a little bit unknown. But I think because they've got talent, because they have two experienced, successful coordinators, I think they're going to get back on track.
It was so weird how they kind of lost their superpowers and nobody knew what to do. And in Philadelphia, the noise and everything, it was crazy. I forgot how badly they lost. D-Mace and I were flipping around the channels during the show and they were showing the wild card game. Mm-hmm. They got destroyed by Tampa Bay last year. 32-9. By the end of the year, they just had no answers at all. So that's an intriguing team. So, Tim, here's one more I want to ask you, because part of what they had going for a while was that RPO. This is what I hear, is that NFL teams especially, and maybe some college teams as well, but defenses are starting to figure out how to handle RPO. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I definitely do, especially I think there are a number of things. One of the things Philadelphia had a ton of success doing 2 years ago were basically this. They would have quarterback draw paired with some isolated route that they wanted to throw. And I think for a while it took people all right, how do we want to defend this? How do we want to take it? Because it was basically a this or that offense. It was I'm either going to do this unless you give me this look. And I think as defenses kind of figure out all right, who's the conflict defender that they're making a decision off of? Okay, it's that guy. How can we give him the read that is going to take the ball here in the run or is going to take the ball here in the pass, but then play behind it differently? So, yeah, I don't think there's any – I mean, defenses have changed so much because of it. And I would also say this. Teams aren't dumb. So as what happens is people are doing some of these things and they're kind of on the edge of, hey, that's a legal man downfield, right? Then what happens is everybody starts to be I'm pointing this out. I'm making sure that this is a point of emphasis. And so all of a sudden it gets called in the game, and then as a play caller, you get yourself away from that a little bit. So I think there are a number of factors, with that. I think some of it had to do with Jalen's health being a little bit banged up. And, I think it really impacted, their success on offense.
RPO, I can remember thinking, wow, what is this? And for a while, I didn't even think to say run pass option to our audience, because I feel like the audience knows about RPO, but it's gone from How do you stop this? It's unstoppable. It's taking over. Everybody's doing it. To now maybe the defenses are catching up a little bit more to figure it out. Everything runs in these cycles.
Well, and if you were a Titans fan for a while, it meant run power often. Is that that's what it meant?
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much so.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He may buckle both chin straps if you're a wide receiver. Get both buckles if you're a wide receiver, okay?
And put on your big boy shoulder pads, because those little shoulder pads ain't going to work.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining us as always. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Yep. All right.